I, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will, therefore, put you in remembrance, for you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And let's pray. Well, as the year comes to a close, our study of the books of the Bible is coming to a close. Made it all the way from Genesis to the second to the last book of the Bible, now to the little book of Jude. Jude, of course, was written by Jude, who is the brother of James. Look in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James. And we've already studied the book of James, written by James. And now we read the book written by his brother, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Jude. The letter is written to, look in verse 1 also, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. So you notice the book is written then to Christians. Matter of fact, basically to all Christians. We've seen some of the books that were written primarily to a certain church, and of course application to all Christians. Some that were written to an individual, certain individual. Some that were written to the dispersed Jews. And now here's one that's written to all Christians. Of course, all of them are written to all Christians. But this one is addressed to all Christians. Now notice the way that he describes those to whom he addresses this letter. First of all, he calls them that are sanctified by God the Father. The first thing he says is, this group to whom I'm writing to is sanctified. The word sanctified simply means to be set apart. Now every person that is saved is sanctified positionally. When you get saved, you get sanctified. It's amazing to me all the things that take place spiritually when a person simply puts their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's amazing if you do a study of that. You'll never get over your salvation if you find out everything that happened. Not only did you get a home in heaven, but you got justified. It means you're just like you never sinned in the sight of God for eternity. As far as heaven's concerned, we're justified. Not only that, but we're regenerated, born again, born into the family of God. And we're also sanctified. We're set apart positionally to God when we get saved. So that's one of the descriptions that he gives, is being sanctified, sanctification. Also, every Christian is to be being sanctified practically in our life. We are to set ourselves apart for God. To be set apart for God, you must be set apart from some things. If I'm to be sanctified, now I am sanctified positionally. As far as eternity is concerned, I've been set apart for eternal life, for heaven. But practically, I must be being sanctified today. I must be setting myself apart today from the world and from those things that would harm me spiritually, and set myself apart to God for His service, to be set apart. To be sanctified doesn't mean to just stay away from sin. That's not sanctification. For instance, we could say, This pulpit here is sanctified. Not only is it not used in the bars, but it's used for God's use, for a particular use. It's not, we could say it's taken out of the bars and sit out in a field someplace, but it's not sanctified. Just staying from sin doesn't make you sanctified. But being set apart for God's service is what sanctification is. To be sanctified, you must be set apart from sin. But you must also be set apart to service for God. So first of all, he calls them sanctified. Secondly, he says, and preserved in Jesus Christ. I like that. You know what it means to be preserved? Some of you ladies, you take some raspberries and preserve them in some raspberry jam. Oh my, hallelujah. That's preaching there. I don't know who I was talking to the other day. I think it was Paul Askew, I think it was, said, man, they had a bunch of raspberries out there, and Brad and I were talking, saying, oh, man, Brad was over there drooling. I was course, kept my composure. But Brad over there, he was drooling. And so we were talking about that raspberry jam. Good night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's good eating right there. Some of that raspberry jam, put it on some toast, some butter on there, and slop that raspberry jam on there about, 2 or 3 inches thick on that toast. Amen. That's good. And what they do, when those ladies preserve that, they keep that so it can be used later. I mean, it's kept until you break the seal on that thing, if it's preserved right. And so that's preserved. And that's what a Christian is. We are preserved. And you know what the seal is? The Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed by the Spirit. And that's our seal. We are preserved. You know what that means then? That means the day that I got, the day I got saved, that means I'm still saved today, just as saved as I was back then. And next year I'll be just as saved, and 1,000 years from now I'll be just as saved. Because we are preserved. That's a blessed thing about getting saved, isn't it? When God saves us, He preserves us. He keeps us saved. Preacher, you hanging on? No, God's hanging on. If I was hanging on, I'd tire out. But God's arm never tires out. When God's got a hold of me, then I'm saved for eternity, forever. And that's a long time. We are preserved. So here he's writing this letter to those who are sanctified, set apart for God's use, set apart positionally, saved. And secondly, not only just sanctified, but they're preserved, forever preserved. Then thirdly, he says, and called. Every saved person, every person that's ever been saved has been called. Every one of us. Every saved person, here simply put, every saved person has a purpose in their life. When you got saved, you got called. And every one of us have a purpose that God has for our life. That's simply what it means. The purpose or the perfect will of God for our life. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for me. When we get saved, sanctified, and preserved, it's not all over within. That's just the beginning. That's why God calls it being born again. We're also called to a specific purpose and to fulfill that perfect will of God in our life. So that's the definition that he gives of these folks to whom he's written to. They're sanctified, they're preserved, and they're called. The key verse of Jude is Jude 3. Look at that verse. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So the key verse is Jude 3, and the key word of that verse is the word contend. He said, I've written that you should earnestly contend for the faith. That word contend in the Greek is the word agonizimo. You can get the English word from that, can't you? Agonize. The English word is. And we get from that word contend. Here's what that means. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me show you another time that word is used. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. See the same word there. It says, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Notice those words. Fight the good fight of faith. You know what that word fight is? The word contend. Contend the good contending for the faith. Same word there. Look also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Same word. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He's saying, I contended for the faith. Before then, he says, we ought to contend the good contending of the faith. And then he says, and Jude says the same thing, in Jude verse 3, he says that you contend for the faith. You know what that simply means? Fight. Fight. And that's what we need to do. Doesn't the Bible say that we ought to be good soldiers? and fight? Oh, wait. I'm not saying you ought to go out and just pick a fight. That's not what I'm saying there. But there are some things to fight for. Now, if somebody came after me and tried to take my life, I'd probably fight about something like that. Because it's not that I don't want to go to heaven, but I'd rather leave it up to God, not up to somebody else. Let God take me, man. I'll fight for my life. That's probably one of the greatest things that person has within him, is a desire to live. God's placed that in us for a purpose. I'd fight. Somebody attacked me, I'd fight. Say, preacher, you're a preacher of the gospel. Yeah, and I'm still a man. I'd fight. I'd fight for my wife. I'd fight for her. Somebody try to harm my wife, I'll fight. There are some things worth fighting for. Somebody tries to harm my children, I'll fight. You want to get in a fight with this preacher, you fight with my wife or fight with my kids, you got yourself a fight. I'll fight for my wife. I'll fight for my kids. I'll fight for my life. There are things worth fighting for. And one of the things worth fighting for is the faith. Jude says, bless God, we better contend. I exhort you. I preach to you. I'm saying, fight for the faith. Contend for the faith. And that's the purpose of the book of Jude. Basically, the key verse is Jude 3. The key word is the word contend, which simply means fight. Just fight. And there are things worth fighting for. Look back in Jude again then. So here's the purpose for the book. Here's why Jude is writing. He's saying, I write this unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. So he writes to exhort Christians to contend, earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly. That means some good fighting there. Earnestly means you better fight to win. Don't just get in the fight and expect to lose that fight. Let's go. You get in the fight for the faith, expect to win. Get in there and fight for that faith and expect to win. Earnestly fight for the faith. There are things worth fighting for. And this blessed book's one of those things. And the truth of the Word of God is worth fighting for. What we need to do is we need to fight or contend for the faith. Then he tells us why to contend for the faith and how to contend for the faith. He says, now I'm writing this to exhort you. And I said, be quite honest with you, Jude said. I wrote this when I sat down to write this letter. You know what I wanted to write about? Look at verse 3 of the first part. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. That's what he said. He said, when I sat down to write unto you, you know what I wanted to write to you about? I wanted to write to you about salvation. He said, boy, I'm excited about my salvation. I wanted to sit down and write to you about salvation. And let's just sit down and rejoice together about our salvation. Let's sit down and rejoice about being sanctified. Let's rejoice about being preserved. Let's rejoice about being called. And let's rejoice about being saved. But when I sat down to write about the salvation, I found it needful to write unto you, that I may exhort you to contend for the faith. It's great to sit back and relax in our salvation, isn't it? We can sit back and say, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, glory to God. Sit back and relax. And Jude said, I'd like to do that. It'd be great if we could, but I'm afraid we're not going to get to do that till we get to stand with Jesus, till we spend eternity with Him. Then we can rejoice over our salvation. But he said, right now, it's needful that we contend for the faith. By the way, just as needful as it was during the day of Jude, it's needful today that some folks contend for the faith. If we sit back and relax, if we take it easy, if we don't contend for the faith, you know what will happen to us? We'll get lackadaisical. We won't win anybody to Jesus. We'll drop our standards. We'll sit back and relax. And pretty soon we'll have folks coming in that aren't even saved. And the whole church will go neo-evangel. I mean, everything else in the world will happen when we don't contend for the faith. And you've seen it all the way down through the years. There's always, God's always had His folks that'll say, we're not going to sit back and relax. Now, we're glad we're saved, but we got all of eternity to rejoice over that. Right now, we got to contend for the faith. It's needful. I exhort you to contend for the faith. So, first of all, in verses 1 through 16 then, he says, here's why to contend for the faith. There's a reason behind it. Here's why. It would be nice, once you're saved, to sit back and relax. But there's a reason why we should contend for the faith. Here's the reason. Look down in verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's why. Because there's false teachers who have crept in. There's false teachers that have crept in. We have called ourselves fundamentalists because we have decided to stay by the fundamentals of the faith. But there are many who call themselves fundamentalists who don't take the same stand. They say they're fundamentalists and they group themselves with us, but they don't say take the same stand. They've crept in unawares. And many, if we're not careful, we'll watch many who call themselves saved and call themselves fundamentalists and say they believe this Bible will allow them to creep in, and we need to contend for the faith. That doesn't mean to go out and fight those folks, but we better fight for the truth. We don't need to spend our time fighting them, but we better be preaching the truth so folks know what the truth is. And we're careful of those who have crept in to our camp and into the truth and into the way of truth and have missed the truth. I was saying this a couple of weeks. Isn't it amazing how close some folks are to the truth? I mean, there's some places they've only missed it by maybe that much. I mean, they're so close. If you talk to them, they sound like us. They almost live like us, almost do as we do, so close, and yet have just missed it. There may be some. I mean, they're so. I mean, they even look. They look great, and pretty soon you start saying, "Man, I wish I could be as good a Christian as they are." And yet they've missed it. They've missed the truth. They live good, and have a lot of good thoughts and good ways, but they've missed it. And if we're not careful, we'll be swayed by that kind of thought, and we'll say, "Well, maybe this aggressive soul winning, maybe that is. Well, he's got a steel Bible." Go out there and knock on their doors and show them how to get saved. That's Bible. And we'll get swayed by it. They're so close. They're off just on maybe one thing, aggressive soul winning. Maybe just, but if you're off on that, you're off on everything. That's the whole theme of this blessed book right here. I was telling the bus workers yesterday, I said, if you get off on that theme right there, you can make this Bible say almost anything you want to. But the truth of the matter is, you know what God wrote this book for? For one purpose. Did he write this book to make you a better Christian? No. He write this book to give you a good example of how to live a good life? No. You want to live a good life? You can read Muhammad's book to find out how to live a good life. You read Buddha's book to find out how to live a good life. You know how he wrote this book right here? To get folks out of hell. That's the only reason. That's it right there. To show folks how to get to heaven. And that means every verse we read of this Bible, when we read a verse, you know what it's saying to us? Go show somebody how to get out of hell. Every verse of this Bible, starting with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when man sinned, all the way to the last verse of the book, it's saying, every time you read it, every time you open it up, it ought to say, show somebody how to get saved. Every verse of this book, show somebody the Savior. Introduce somebody to the Savior. That's the theme of this whole book right here. If you're off on that one thing, you missed it. Now you're so close. But the falsity, the devil's got so many things that look so much like the truth. They're so close to the truth that so many people are deceived by it. Look out. Watch out. Now I'll show you in just a minute how to contend for the faith. But here's why we need to contend for the faith. Because there are those that have crept in unaware. It didn't say they came running in there with a pitchfork in their hand and smelling like smoke and a red flannel suit saying we've got falsity and you've got the truth. They don't do that. They come in saying, we've got the truth too. And our truth is a truth and your truth isn't. Look out. They crept in unawares. Be careful. Make sure you know the truth. I'll show you how you can know in a little while, how you can contend, but realize that there are those who aren't with the truth. Maybe miss it just by a little bit. They talk about being born again. They talk about salvation. Talk about everything else, but they've missed it. There's a group that call themselves fundamentalists that are off on the blood of Jesus Christ. They've missed it. I mean, you listen to them, and boy, they sound good. Man, it sounds good. Unless you know the truth, you got to stay with the truth. Contend for the truth. They've crept in. So God gives us some examples here to remind us of the importance of contending for the faith. Why contend for the faith? Because there's false teachers who have crept in. God gives us some examples to remind us of the importance of contending for the faith. You stick with this blessed book right here. Just stick with the Bible. You don't need to stick with this preacher. You need to stick with the Word of God. As long as this preacher is preaching the Word of God, you stick with the preacher. But the importance is to stick with this book right here. Stick with the Bible. The Word of God is what's important. Here's some examples that he gives. He says, now you ought to, here's why you ought to contend for the faith. Think of this. Look in verse 5. Therefore put you in remembrance, though once you knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He said, now think of this. You better contend for the faith, because the Israelites, God's chosen people, they're the ones who God chose out of all the nations upon the face of the earth. They were God's chosen people. God went down there and delivered them with the 10 plagues upon Egypt and delivered them out of Egypt, brought them across the Red Sea, had a land prepared for them for over 400 years, the land, the promised land, Canaan land, the land flowing with milk and honey. God did all that for them. They were God's people. Look what happened to them. God destroyed them that believed not. They got up to the promised land and they said, well, God said, go in and take the land, but there's some giants in that land. I'm not sure if we can do that. If God said, do it, bless God, you can do it. Whatever God's told us to do, we can do it. If God said, I want you to go to Fulton and win the people of Fulton to Jesus, you look out there and say, good night, Lord, you don't know Fulton. There's some giants out there. And God says, you go out there and win them. And if God says to do it, then we can do it. Whatever the job is. The Israelites, God said, go into the land. The Israelites got right to the brink of the land, right there. All they had to do was just step over. And they turned back in unbelief. What'd God do? God killed every one of them except two. There were over 20. In the next 40 years, they all died in the wilderness. Jude's saying, if God destroyed those who turned back because of unbelief, you better make sure you contend for the faith. That was God's chosen people there. Look at the next example, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first example is the Israelites. Secondly, the angels. It says, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Here's another example he gives. He says, think of this. If you don't contend for the faith, think of this. There were those angels that God had created in heaven, the angels that praise the Lord and worship Him and do God's business between heaven and earth. God created them to worship Him, to praise Him. And there's a group of them that fell. And God's got them right now reserved for judgment. So if God would reserve those angels who fell for judgment, you better contend for the faith. It's important to contend for the faith. God's got some of His own angels reserved for judgment. Those angels that when Lucifer fell from heaven, followed Lucifer instead of following God. And even in heaven, can you imagine that? Lucifer fell and took with him probably a third of the angels. He said, Jude said, if God would reserve even the angels that He made for judgment, you better contend for the faith. Because those that don't have the truth will be reserved for judgment also. Look also in verse 7. Here's the third example he gives. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. The third example is Sodom and Gomorrah. Most of us are familiar, very familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, in the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude says, just look at the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. God says, look at that city over there who's going into fornication and going into sin and their wickedness. God says, I'm going to use them as an example for the other nations and the other countries around, the other cities around, and show you that God is not pleased with fornication. God is not pleased with the wickedness that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah. God says, I've destroyed them with fire. God said, and Jude said, if God would do that, just an example, then God's not going to be pleased if we don't contend for the if we miss the truth. If folks don't get the truth and get saved, they're going to be reserved for judgment. That's how important the truth is. Only through the truth can you be set free. That's it. Only the truth can set you free. And if a person misses the truth, if a person doesn't get saved, they're reserved for judgment also one day. We've got to contend for the faith. That's what he's saying. That's how important it is. Why contend for the faith? Because there's false teachers who've crept in. Why should we contend for the faith? Let me give you some examples, some remembrances. Because of the Israelites, God's chosen people, they fell because of unbelief. The angels, God's created beings, they fell. Sodom and Gomorrah turned to fornication, turned to wickedness. God destroyed them. By the way, there's the same thing going on in America today. Those things that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for are going on in this nation today, more prevalent than ever before in the history of this land. And we need to get back to the truth again. This country needs the truth. This area needs the truth. We need to get back to the truth of the Word of God again. And then he gives a description of these false teachers in verses 8 through verse 16. And I'll just kind of group all this description into two things. Look, beginning with verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries or dignities. The first thing they do is they reject authority. They reject authority. Any kind of authority of the Word. By the way, this book right here is our authority. Basically, what we can say is they reject the Word of God or those that preach the Word of God. They reject the truth. They reject any kind of authority. Any authority that God has placed over them, they reject. The authority of the Word of God, they reject. Verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, when he contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. These speak evil of those things which they know not. What they know naturally is brute beasts and those things that corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward and perished in the gainsay of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Here's the second thing, beginning verse 12. I'll read in verse 11. He says in verse 12, these spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water. So they're just like a cloud. No water in them. Just a fake cloud. So just like a tree doesn't bear fruit. Just a fake tree. Looks good. Cloud look good. Well, there's not any water in it. Tree look good. There's no fruit on it. Says, raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Unique also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. He said, secondly, they're hypocrites. They live in hypocrisy. They look good. They may even talk good. But they don't have the truth. And they'll sway those who don't know the truth to them. Watch out for that. Be very careful. You check everything out with this book right here. Check this preacher out with the Bible. Check every preacher out with the Bible. Because the Bible is the truth. The Bible is the Word of God. And we need to make sure that we are following the truth and not just what we want the truth to be. You can find anybody, you can find somebody in this world that thinks just like you think. There's going to be somebody out there that thinks the way you want to think, does things the way you want to do it. But don't determine truth by how you think. Don't determine truth by how you live or what makes you feel good. Determine truth by what this book right here says. Determine truth by the Word of God. So the Lord describes in these false teachers, basically when put it into two thoughts, they reject authority and they live in hypocrisy. All the way back in verse 4 it said, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Here's what they said. God's grace is free that gives us salvation. But they took the grace of God and says, well, we've got God's grace. We can live any way we want to live. That's not the grace of God. God's grace doesn't say now you're saved, you can live any way you want to. That's what these false teachers have done. They've made the grace of God into lasciviousness. They said, we can do anything we want to do. Live any way we want to live. We're saved. By the way, that's not Bible. You can live any way you want to. You're probably not saved. Because when you get saved, your wanter gets changed. And you can get backslidden. But when you're saved, you're not going to want to live in lasciviousness. And you won't use the salvation as an excuse to live any way you want to live. We need to realize that God, when He saves us, has a purpose for our life. And we're to live clean and holy and righteous and serve Him. Here's the second thing in beginning of verse 17. How to contend for the faith. This letter is written to the Christians because every believer is a potential backslider. Every one of us is a potential backslider. There's not a single person that's strong enough on their own that they won't follow error. If you put truth here and error here, you know most of the people are going to go to error. They just flock to error because it's human nature. It's not human nature to take truth because the truth hurts. It's not human nature to go to truth because the truth works. It's not human nature to go to the truth because the truth is going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to take away some of your fleshly desires. So people are going to take, if the truth is here, the plain, unadulterated truth right here, and you got truth mixed with error over here, people are going to take the truth mixed with error rather than the plain truth. Not the Plain Truth magazine, by the way. This Plain Truth book written by God. That's the book we need. And you got truth here. Most folks will take error. Just stick by the truth. Sometimes it just takes plain old character. Just say, bless God, I'm going to take the truth. Just live by the truth. How? Every one of us. Our potential backslider. Every one of us. There's not a single one of us. That's why the Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. It's easy to look at somebody that's missed the truth and say, well, bless God, I've got the truth. Look out. You're on your first step right there. You get haughty about knowing the truth, you're not far away from missing the truth. Be careful. Every one of us. So I look at them sorry devils over there, bless God, they've missed the truth. Bless their heart, I try to help them. Don't need to criticize them. Don't need to go kick them and beat them when they're down. Try to help them. They want to know the truth. They can find the truth. We need to help them. We need to pray for them. And every one of us must be careful lest we miss the truth also. We can't say, well, I know the Bible. And what we need to be saying is, I need to know the Bible better. We need to just keep learning this book and keep living by this book. We can't get haughty. We can't say, well, we're the only ones with the truth. No, we've got the Bible just like anybody else got the Bible. We better make sure we're sticking by the Bible, lest we fall also. Take heed lest you fall. Every one of us are potential backsliders. Therefore, we're admonished to watch ourselves and to help others. Beginning in verse 17, notice some ways that we can contend for the faith. Verse 17 says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. First thing is this, the Bible. Stick by the Bible. If we're to contend for the faith, we've got to stick by this book right here. It says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. He said, remember the words which were spoken before. Just stick with this book right here. So that book's old. Yeah, but it was written by God. And it's just as up to date today as this morning's newspaper. Matter of fact, it's as up to date as tomorrow's newspaper. This book right here is God's Word, the living Word, the Word of God. And it's just as alive today as it was the day that God spoke it from heaven. It's God's Word. Stick with the Bible. If we're to contend for the faith, we've got to stick with this book right here. Just stay by the Bible. Secondly, in verse 20, he says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Same thing there, the Bible. "Praying in the Holy Ghost." Secondly, prayer. We need to stay in prayer for strength, for wisdom, for God's guidance. Yielding ourselves to God continually if we're to stay in the truth, contend for the faith. Contend for the faith means we need to be reading our Bible, need to stay in the Bible, stay in the truths of the Word of God. Contend for the faith means we need to be praying for God's wisdom, God's guidance, and God's strength. By the way, nobody has to miss the truth. Nobody has to. God says, "My word will endure to all generations," or "My truth will endure to all generations." What are you saying? We've got the truth right now today. In 1989, the truth is still here. We just need to make sure that we're some of those that are in the truth. We need to make sure that we're the ones during our generation that are still in the truth. Because the truth will be in 1990, the truth will be still here. In 1991, the truth will still be here. In the year 2000, the truth will still be around. Whether it's here in heaven, it's still going to be here. We need to make sure daily, weekly, yearly, that we are in the truth. It could happen to us. Make sure we stay in the truth. How do you do that? Stay in the Bible. Prayer. Verse 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Two other things in these verses right here. He said, "And some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear." Soul winning will keep you right. Soul winning will keep you right. I've said this many times before. You probably know what I'm going to say right now. You know how this preacher is going to stay in the truth? You know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to stay in the truth, and I'm going to know I'm in the truth when I'm soul winning. That's how I'll know when I'm in the truth. When I quit soul winning, then I'll very easily pick up some false doctrines. I'll very easily pick up a little bit of error with the truth. It doesn't happen immediately. I won't become a neo-evangelical overnight. But little by little, one day I'll find myself missing the truth. The way that I'll stay in the truth is I take the theme of this book right here, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, to save us from our sins, and live that truth in our life. How do you do that? Saving some with compassion, some pull them out of the fire with fear. Some love and some scared to death. But get them saved any way you can. You got to preach fire and brimstone, bless God, preach it. That'll save some. And some weep as you talk to them. That'll save some. We don't know which is which. We just tell them all and let the Holy Spirit of God lead as we go soul winning. We need to be soul winners. That'll keep us in the truth. The other thing he said here, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The other thing we need is separation. Separation. If we will separate ourselves from the things that'll spot the garment. Separate ourselves from the things of the flesh, of the world, of the devil. Keep ourselves separated. Get ourselves as close as we can to God. Separate ourselves from the world. If we'll live a separated life, we won't water down the truth. And that's what it takes, folks. Now, I didn't say when I started here it's going to be easy to contend for the faith. But I said I'll show you why to contend for the faith and how to contend for the faith. Jude, when he wrote these 25 verses here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, packed a powerful sermon in there. He wasn't trying to be nice. He said, "I'm trying to exhort you to contend for the faith." So you may not like what I'm going to write to you, but it's needful, he says. I'd like to write to you about the common salvation. I'd like to write to you about the wonderful salvation that we have. We got all of eternity to rejoice over our salvation. We need to do right now is we need to be contending for the faith. It's needful now. And in 1989, it's just as needful as it was back in 66 A.D. Still needful today. Contend for the faith. Stay in the truth. You'll hear things that'll seem good to you. And if you're not careful, You'll be drawn away, and you'll miss the truth. You may not miss the truth next week. You may not miss it next month. You may not miss it next year. But somewhere down the road, you're going to miss the truth. Fight for the faith now. Contend for the faith. How do you do that? Get in the Bible. Pray. Well, soul winning. And stay separated. The theme of the book is simply this: contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. Just fight for the truth. That's what it means, basically. Just fight for the truth. There are some things worth fighting for. The truth is worth fighting for. Contend for the faith. Well, God bless you, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,